Welcome back to the Manga Revolution Podcast, your home for the best in-depth commentary for manga and anime. I'm your host, Kevin, and with me today is my co-host, Rock. How are you, Rock?
Hey, Kevin. I'm doing great.
That's great. That's great to hear. So on today's episode, we are going to be covering a bunch of new stories from Jujutsu Kaisen, the Harvey Awards, Deadpool Samurai, and a new series coming from the Fullmetal Alchemist creator, Hiromu Arakawa, and then we're also going to go into our thoughts on the Azuki Digital Manga Service app, as well as reviewing the Masho Magic and Muscles first 15 chapters to get some new blood into this podcast. But before we start talking about that, Rock, what have you been up to?
Kevin, I spent this whole week doing pretty much nothing but reading an insane amount of manga on the app. Seriously, I just went crazy. I read a lot of manga in general, but yeah. Seriously, the past week, I just went hog wild, reading nonstop. You know, we had the big, the service came out before the 4th of July weekend. I had about 4 days off for that. And then I had another day off, late last week. So I just was like reading. And so it's been kind of nice. I haven't watched much TV because I've been reading so much.
Oh, nice.
But there's a lot of good, we'll get to it later, but yeah, there's a surprising amount of good content.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Well, I know we'll talk about it definitely when we get to the Azuki app, but that's good to hear that you've been using it. Is there one manga that stood out just to talk about the manga that you've been reading?
I think the one that I really got into was Golosseum.
Okay.
And it was really cool. It kind of reminded me, the style of art kind of reminded me of, it's by, the mangaka is Yasushi Baba, but it reminds me of, I mean, it's not identical, obviously, but very reminiscent of Fist of North Star in terms of the look and the action and the brutality, right? It very much has that kind of look to it, which is, I just wasn't expecting. I definitely recommend it. It was fun to read.
It's interesting. There's a lot of good variety on the Azuki app, so which we'll talk about here. When we get to the review, so we'll save that for the review and everything before. That's awesome. I know for myself, I've just been, I haven't really watched any anime or been reading too much manga outside of the ones that come out monthly, which we'll talk about next week, because I really want to talk about My Hero Academia with you. I've been just watching basically just movies. I just finished watching the Space Jam movie last night, so which was honestly a lot of fun. I know that we have friends that probably will be like, "Oh, this isn't for me," but I'm a LeBron James fan, just like Michael Jordan. I love Michael Jordan, and then I love LeBron James. He's my favorite current player. So it was just fun. It was just fun watching the Looney Tunes and just turn. It's like a movie where I just want to turn off my brain, just watch it, enjoy the pretty colors.
Yeah. Yep.
Sometimes we just need movies like that. I don't need every movie to be super intellectual and give me tons of depth in their storytelling. Right. Just give me some funny dialogue with Bugs Bunny, and you got me. So.
There you go. I've debated whether I'm going to watch it. Yeah. I love the first Space Jam because I was a huge Michael Jordan fan growing up. I guess everybody was.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
I've never liked LeBron James. I've always rooted against his teams, even when he played for my for my beloved Miami Heat. Even then, I was like, why is he on my team and we're winning? I'm so conflicted.
Are you trying to bring championships to your team? That's why.
I know. I was very conflicted during those years. It was tough.
But personally for myself, I've always liked LeBron James, and like the argument for Michael Jordan, LeBron James is like, it's 1A, 1B for me, to be honest, if I'm being very honest with you. I enjoyed it. It's like a movie, just turn off your brain. Don't think about it. Don't think about it too hard. LeBron James isn't going to be the best actor of all time, just like Michael Jordan wasn't the best actor of all time, but you just enjoy him interacting and them actually bringing in the rest of the WB universe, I guess. Like almost every franchise is in there. I think the one notable for us would be that I did really like the cameo for Superman, because it's the in the style of the 90s Superman animated series. They did really cool things of like the DC Comics stuff, I think they did. And then the Wonder Woman cameo was actually comic book style, where she, like whatever character was in Wonder Woman's world they were actually telling the story through like a comic book. So like they had like comic book panels, like characters running through comic book panels, and so I was like, oh, that's actually creative. I won't spoil what the scene was or which character it involves, but it was fun. It was fun seeing Wonder Woman and the Superman cameo, and then the jokes on Batman too. So.
The group I wanted to really see in Space Jam 2 was Teen Titans Go.
Yeah, I don't think they're not a main cameo, but I think they're probably like a cameo somewhere in the background stuff. But
okay. Being zany.
I know like they had like cameos of Animaniacs, they had like Gremlins, which I saw, and Iron Giant, Kong, and all that stuff. Basically everything, anything you would think of WB, it's in there. So. Right.
That's awesome.
But again, it's just like, it's a movie. Just turn off your brain. Don't think about it too hard. It's not going to be Sopranos at all. So, I did not expect it to be at all. So, and it's fun to have a movie like that. It's fun to have a movie like that, you know? It's free on HBO Max. So if you have HBO Max, I do recommend watching it. We'll get into like the news stories before getting into our topics of the show with the Azuki app and the Mashal reviews. So the first news story I want to talk to you about, Rock, is Jujutsu Kaisen has been on a break for the past about month or so, and it's due to Genji Akutami. He's been dealing with some health issues. Again, we don't know what it is, and again, we shouldn't be privy to it. That's on him, and that's hopefully he's taking care of it, but it looks like he is returning to good health, and the Jujutsu Kaisen series is going to be returning August 2nd. So the first week of August, we should expect a new chapter for Jujutsu Kaisen. And again, it's great to hear that Genji Akutami is back in good health, and hopefully he is not forcing himself to get back to the manga. Hopefully it's... Yeah. It's all good news, how I'm taking it. What do you think of the announcement, Rock?
I think so. I think, whatever he was having an issue with, it looks like he was smart, because health, we've all learned in the pandemic, Kevin, what matters most in your life? It's your health. You got to be healthy. If you don't have your health, you're no help to yourself or your family or your loved ones, right?
Yeah.
So I'm glad. I understand the culture, the intense pressure and work schedule that the mangaka are exposed to. I mean, it's part of the culture of being a mangaka, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to see that in 2021, maybe it's the pandemic, whatever it is, it's nice to see people realizing, you know what? We do have to prioritize our health. Yes, I want to be good mangaka, and yes, I want to put out good manga in a timely fashion, but I like to see industries that are hyper pressure-filled industries realizing we got to prioritize health a little bit more.
Yeah, and taking a break and stuff. And I think, again, obviously there's not a big shift on that, because we've seen that all these mangas come out, like a lot of them come out weekly and stuff like that. So there's a whole different types of pressure on that, especially if I knew Okutami, he probably had a couple of assistants, but it seemed like he was handling the bulk of art and writing. So, so it's actually, I'm glad that he was able to take a break, not just for health reasons, but just for mental things as well, like all that. So that way he could just get back and kind of it's hopefully a good reset for him. And he was able to take time to just for himself, but also maybe even take time to get new ideas, because it's definitely a grind to do weekly releases. So
hopefully he has a bigger team of assistants too.
For sure. Yeah, because his artwork is like, when it was top tier, like when it was at top of his game, it was top tier artwork, I think. And we talked about that when we reviewed Jujutsu Kaisen's last big arc. So I think hopefully he comes back in good health and everything's good with him. And so I just wanted to give you that good news for to start off. And then another thing that just came out this past week was the Harvey Awards announced their best manga category for what's going to be part of the nominees. So for those who don't know, it's the Harvey Awards are named after cartoonist Harvey Kurtzman. The announcement's going to come out in New York Comic Con this year. So the nominees for Best Manga are Sadora by Naoki Urasawa, Boys Run the Riot by Keito Gaku, Chainsaw Man by Tatsuki Fujimoto, Romina by Junji, and Spy X Family by Tetsuya Endo. What I wanted to get your thoughts on this manga and this announcement on the best mangas. What do you think, Rock?
That's a great selection of titles. First of all, that is going to be really hard to choose a winner. I have read bits and pieces of Asadora, Boys Run the Riot, and Remina. I've not read all the chapters for those three, but I've read a little bit, so I'm familiar with them. I read completely through and through the entire Chainsaw Man, and obviously you and I are reading Spy X Family because we review it on this podcast. I can't pick between children, Kevin. I can't pick between children, because obviously I'm going to go with Chainsaw Man or Spy X Family as the two front runners for me. And to choose between those two is nearly impossible, mainly because those two manga are absolutely diametrically opposite genres and styles and approaches. It's like comparing a great comedy to a great drama. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah. And it's very interesting because this is actually the second time because we saw this with the Eisner Awards as well, that both Romina and Spy X Family both were nominated for those. So it's fun to see that the mangas that everybody's getting into and which ones are getting critically acclaimed, because I actually am not familiar with Romina. I haven't gotten around to reading it. So, but seeing it again, pop up again in these awards, it has definitely shot it up to one of the ones that I'm going to read as soon as I can. And like you said, Chainsaw Man, that's great that it's getting nominated and things like that, because again, it's probably the most popular manga that's come out in the last few years. There's an anime that's about to premiere, I think, end of this year or probably beginning of next year, depending on production. Yep. Because I saw that they just put out a trailer for the anime. And it was announced that they're doing that Fujimoto is doing a sequel to Chainsaw Man, I believe.
Yes, so, can't wait for that.
Yeah, so that's going, yeah. And especially with Chainsaw Man, what was it, about 80 chapters or so?
Yeah, it wasn't that long. It really wasn't. I was so surprised that it ended when it did, because it's not that long. It reached a natural conclusion, but still, I was a little surprised. It is fantastic.
Yeah, so that's great to hear that it's getting, again, that acclaim, and especially its original run ending. It's cool to see, because I believe it's also one of the top selling mangas almost every monthly as well for just the individual volumes here in the United States. So it's definitely good to see that it's not just getting commercial but critically acclaimed as well. And then also like you said, Spy X Family, I know that's probably our favorite. what we would both choose, because and I know it's tougher for you because you've read Chainsaw Man as well, but Spy X Family is such a great manga, so I'm glad that it's not just us raving about it, it's everybody's getting into it. So because that is truly a special manga, I think, just series in general. So okay, cool. Absolutely. And then now let's get into our next news story, which is the Deadpool manga. So finally, the Deadpool Samurai manga series that has been releasing in Japan is finally going to get a English dub of it released in spring 2022. And right now the Amazon listing is listing the release for February 8th, 2022. So you could pre-order it right now on Amazon, and this is all part of the Marvel Viz Suecia partnership that's been going on there. This is actually going to be the second manga that's going to be released in English here in the United States for this partnership, because in October of this year, Marvel and Viz are going to release Marvel Meow, which is by Nao Fuji. It's kind of an adaption of the Nao Fuji's a series that he was running on Marvel's Instagram for a little bit, and it's going to just be expanding on that. And then Later on in 2022, there's going to be another manga series by Yu-Gi-Oh! Creator Katsuki Takahashi that's going to be called Secret Reverse. We don't really know what that project is too much, whereas with Marvel Meow, it's kind of Captain Marvel based by her cat. But with Secret Reverse, we don't know what it's going to be about. It's been teased that it's Iron Man and Spider-Man related, but details are very sparse on that. But again, Deadpool Samurai is going to be right in the middle of those two releases. It's going, like I said, it's February 8th, 2022. But yeah, what do you think of this announcement for Deadpool Samurai, Rock?
I think it's fantastic. I'm glad that they're finally translating this into English and giving it to us. What's amazing is Deadpool Samurai. This blows my mind, Kevin. Keep in mind, Deadpool Samurai has been offered in Japanese only, right? Not in English, not in the home market for that character. Even so, despite that, Deadpool Samurai was the most widely read Marvel comic of 2021. Think about that. Not offered in English. It's a manga. And it's the most widely read comic book that Marvel has published
in
2021. That tells you something about the decline of Marvel comics here and the power of manga abroad.
Yeah, and I think it's really just I think it is the power of manga abroad, because also like very light spoilers on the manga. This actually is a crossover between Deadpool and or Marvel and My Hero Academia. That was like the big news story that came out, that All Might appeared in the Deadpool Samurai manga. I don't know what the story is, because again, I haven't read it yet. But it's I just remember the image of Deadpool and All Might interacting, and that was like a huge deal. So. And we know the power of My Hero Academia is probably like the strongest out of almost any superhero related thing right now.
Absolutely.
Outside of the MCU.
But
yeah, so it had that huge crossover. I'm sure that shot up like interest in Japan, especially with when you have Deadpool, who's a very super popular character worldwide. It's probably like outside of the Avengers, he's probably like the most popular character Marvel has. That's singular, outside of maybe Spider-Man, possibly.
Maybe Spider-Man. Yeah.
Like Spider-Man's the only one that beats him, but Deadpool is definitely a character that even non-Marvel fans know, thanks to the Ryan Reynolds movie and just the character in general and his wackiness. So he fits in very well with the wackiness of Japanese comedy and stuff, I'm sure. So So yeah, it's cool that we're finally getting it. Like I said, February 8th. I'm glad that we're getting it. And it's just, again, I'm very excited for the Marvel Viz partnership, because again, we know that Marvel Meow is coming out, and that's Captain Marvel based. And then the Secret Reverse by the Yu-Gi-Oh! Creator. And these are just the first couple announcements, because we know that Marvel and Viz, they did say in their announcement that they're going to be doing a lot more stuff. And it's going to be interesting to see what this partnership produces, because we really don't know if maybe we'll get another crossover with another manga, because we had the Deadpool My Hero Academia crossover. Can we have another crossover between other franchises that are manga based?
I'm kind of curious on two things. One, will we see these mangaka who do these series in this partnership, if they are free of the type of editorial interference that the American writers have to deal with? And I'm also curious to see if these mangas are written primarily for an Eastern audience or primarily for a Western audience, because they're not the same either.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that Marvel has some influence in terms of, hey, you can't do these type of things. They have a couple rules, because again, it's their character, and they're very protective of their characters.
What you're telling me?
Yeah. they're protective, and again, that goes for any IP. I think any IP, the creators or the license holders are very protective of what you can't do. You can't go too far, but so I'm sure that the ecchi stuff maybe is probably you're going to see too much of that in a Marvel manga, but we've seen it with stuff that they've produced, because I know that they've produced in before, just in not as part of a partnership or anything. They've done Spider-Man mangas or Star Wars mangas and things like that, and it seems like they're fine with doing whatever the style is, as long as they trust the creator. Just because, again, like you said, it is more creator centric, and it's not usually they have full control of it. So I'm sure that hopefully, especially what the Secret Reverse series that we don't know anything about, it is the Yu-Gi-Oh creator. Yu-Gi-Oh is huge. And so I'm sure that he hopefully has good creative control on that. And it's going to be interesting to see if we see more big name creators on these series. Cause again, Takahashi is like, is a notable name because of Yu-Gi-Oh, like I said, is huge. And it'll be interesting because there are manga creators that, especially like with Naruto and Bleach and stuff like that, they haven't, Taikudo, I know he's done some series, but he doesn't have anything ongoing right now. Maybe they could get him to do something. But there's a lot of potential.
I kind of get the feeling that these manga that are created for this Viz Marvel partnership aren't going to be like the incredible long running manga with One Piece and everything. So these are going to be kind of shorter, limited series stories, which should enable more large name mangaka to kind of pop in, do one for, you know, that runs for 6 months, then pop out. You know what I'm saying? And let's be honest, Disney has more money than just about anybody.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that mangaka wouldn't mind some of that Disney money, Kevin.
Yeah, for sure. And we saw that with the Batman Joker manga too that just came out too. I think it's good that the comic book industry is like not just being like, oh, we're going to produce comic books here with our Western creators.
Yep.
And they're actually going into the Japanese market and saying, hey, let's get some manga creators that have the mentality of what people like it from manga, and actually letting them kind of run wild with the ideas. Because again, we did have the Deadpool Samurai has all my in it. It's like, obviously they're working with My Hero Academia. So it's it's good that they just, again, just working with what works over there, and like letting the manga industry kind of dictate what the story will be too.
I think it's also important that it also frees these mangaka won't be constrained by any continuity.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about continuity. You don't have to worry about share world stories. None of that.
Exactly.
All those problems that the Westerners have to deal with, the mangaka won't have to deal with, which is
a
real advantage, unfair advantage.
and that I think Deadpool was a great choice for that, just because he is such a character that you could easily plug and play him in anywhere, and he's still the same character. Like I'm sure that when Ryan Reynolds Deadpool appears, because I'm not sure if you saw a trailer breakdown of Ryan Reynolds' new movie. It was Korg and Deadpool. And Deadpool is just so natural, just like you could just plug him into anything of that or like a manga world, like with My Hero Academia. Like you just put him in there, because again, he's a fourth wall breaking character that works so well with that stuff.
My suggestion that I have a very, very this is about as I would say niche of a character to suggest that we see a manga of, but I would love for DC to commission, kind of like they got the Joker manga going on, give me a manga about Ambush Bug. He is perfect, right?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Ambush Bug is it would be the character that I would be like, yes, just have him, and like do the channel 52 news or something like that, and going into like different types of manga, like going into Naruto or Dragon Ball and like reporting on all the crazy stuff he's seen.
That'd be awesome.
Give us a different perspective of how Goku battles and stuff.
Right. I would love it. I would love to see him just annoying the hell out of all those characters too.
See who's the most annoying. Just an annoying off. It's great. It's fun to see these that like we're getting kind of a merger of both our worlds that we love so much kind of coming together. So hopefully we hear more about what Marvel is planning with Viz, and we don't have to wait as long as we are with the Deadpool Samurai, and more of this stuff comes out right away or like not too long after, because we face that kind of with video games a little bit, which is getting better. Hopefully with manga it's also gets better a little bit, because we've seen it with Viz and starting to publish monthly chapters here, so we don't have to wait forever for a new chapter. So
amen.
So the final news story that I wanted to talk about is Rich Rock is the Full Metal Alchemist creator Hiromu Arakawa. She's going to be releasing a new manga series after she finished up her latest work. It was called Silver Spoon, which was kind of very different from Full Metal Alchemist. It was kind of more a farmer slice of life manga series that was running from 2011 to 2019. So it was like her next big work after Full Metal Alchemist's run ended. And so we don't have too many details on this new manga. We do know that it's going to be published in the monthly Shonen Ganga. And then we do get a character design for the main character of this new series, which her look, I'm not sure if you saw it, Rock, but she kind of looks Risa Hawkeye from Full Metal Alchemist. It reminded me. Which is great. She was like one of my favorite characters in that, and she was like one of the most badass characters in that series. So it's not surprising that she's going to be designed. She kind of based the main character off that, off Risa. And so, again, we know that it's a fantasy series. What are your thoughts on this? Is this something that catches your eye for it?
Absolutely. I mean, I loved Full Metal Alchemist. I thought it was fantastic. I will openly admit, Kevin, I did not read Silver Spoon, okay?
No.
I will cop to that. But having said that, Arakawa is wonderfully talented, and I just adored Full Metal Alchemist. I mean, who didn't? That was just an amazing series. It was so incredible. And it's one of, I mean, I actually read the manga and then watched the anime, and I don't often do that. I have to really like something to consume it both ways. But I adored it, so I'm really excited, and it's cool that Arakawa got all that sweet Full Metal Alchemist money. Kevin was able to do like a slice of life farming manga. That's cool, because when you get paid, you should have the ability to do whatever the hell you want to do, right?
Yeah, and I know that Arakawa, I know that from what I've heard in different news stories, that like Suisha and has tried to make her go back to Full Metal Alchemist and stuff like that, revisit that and do more follow-up, but she's been steadfast of like, I did my work on Full Metal Alchemist. I made my stamp on it. I told the story that I wanted to tell, and that's kind of why she went into a slice of life mangas with Silver Spoon, because she didn't want to be like, she's like, Full Metal Alchemist is its own thing, and which is great, because I think we've seen it enough where like, what is it, Boruto the next Naruto the Next Generation, Dragon Ball Super, so many mangas get followed because of their popularity, and we see sometimes are continue because of that popularity when maybe they should have a natural end. I'm looking at you, Bleach. Stuff like that. So it's good that Arakawa was able to like flex her muscles a little bit and say, hey, nope, I told my story of Full Metal Alchemist. That's the story. It doesn't need to continue. So, which is again, always good that end. So
I'm just glad to see her back to this genre.
Yeah.
Because I think she's really good at it. Mm. She's got the right kind of art. She's got neat ideas. We don't know a lot about it. We just see a sketch image of some characters. I do think that since it is fantasy based, I'm not familiar with these characters, but the mythical Chinese Pixiu, I think, maybe Pixiu, however you pronounce it, they look super cool. Evidently, like, you tell the men from the women based on how many horns they have.
Oh, nice.
They look rad as hell. I sign me up for this, Kevin. I'm all for it. Yeah.
And we know that Arakawa, she likes mixing in a lot of different types of mythologies in her work with like Full Metal Alchemist, had some characters from that were from different parts of the world and stuff like that. So she was very much about diversity in the type of cast. So it's cool that she's not just mixing in Japanese mythology. Like we were probably get some Chinese and like she worked in like Indian and stuff like that. So again, we know that she is very much into diversity of like having different types of cultures in a series. Yep. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case with this new series. And it's good that it's also going to be in the monthly Shonen Ganga instead of like the normal Shonen Jump. So it's going to be a monthly series. We know that for sure. Which is good, because that was what Full Metal Alchemist was. It was like a monthly series instead of a weekly series. So that will give her plenty of time to make sure that every chapter is good. Again, even though we may have want a weekly chapter, it's fine. This is what she works best at. And I'm glad that she's not going to overextend what she normally does. And it's going to be part of her normal cycle of like monthly releases instead of weekly.
I totally agree. It may be we're Americans. So we've grown up being conditioned on what monthly releases are. Comic books, right? So for us, I do like the weekly release schedule of manga, but I'll totally take monthly, because I've been conditioned to be used to monthly releases, and it means the quality of the story and the art is going to be where I want it to be. Fine with me, no complaints.
Yeah, for sure. And again, this is just another. It's also good attention of that Shonen Swayship publishes more than just Shonen Jump too. So it's good that it has like it's going to have a big their monthly gang Shonen Ganga, which has a lot of really good our mangas in that is getting this another big one that's going to give it more attention to, because I think for most audiences Shonen Jump is what we know here in the Western is that and most people probably think that that's the only one, but they have right. so many other magazines that they publish on a monthly basis that are what is it like monthly or bi-monthly with different series in there as that are not just My Hero Academia and things like that. So again, it's good that it's getting a big series, and I can't wait for Arakawa what this is going to be about, because I definitely love Fullmetal Alchemist. It's one of my favorite series. So all right, awesome. So let's just move on to one of our topics of the show for this week. We've had about a couple weeks now to use the Azuki digital manga service, both on the app and desktop. So for people that don't know, Azuki mobile app is a service that just came out a couple weeks ago, and it is based on it's going to have the Kodansha mostly for in terms of what it releases. It is being done through a partnership with Kodansha. It's not necessarily where they're part of the Kodansha a company. So they're just like licensing all the series, but they are releasing series that are going to be weekly. And then they also have like a backlog catalog that they're still updating. And they've been updating they've been actually pretty active about updating it almost like weekly of like which series have been completed, because there's a couple of series that have actually been completed, but they don't have the full chapter selection or are still going on and things like that. So they're still obviously adding things they just launched a couple of weeks ago. So, but yeah, so I kind of want to get Rock. I just wanted to get your thoughts on on using the service and what you think of your experience thus far.
I'll start with the positive. How about that? Let's start with the positive.
Let's go. That's what we're about in Revolution.
right. Let's go with the positive. I really do like, look, you and I, we've talked about the Shonen Jump app, and I'm a massive fan of it. It's $1.99 a month. And for me, that is the best bang for the buck out of any of these digital services mm-hmm. out there. It's just phenomenal. But having said that, what I love about the Azuki app is it absolutely offers a much more diverse range of genres than the Shonen Jump app, which is really nice. I like that. The Azuki app also offers more adult content in their manga as well, obviously, versus Shonen Jump, which skews really to younger boys, maybe teenage boys, but doesn't skew old ever. Whereas Azuki, if you're an adult reader, they're going to have more that maybe has more adult content. I'm not saying triple X content. I'm saying just adult content. And Kevin, I just real fast, I've tried to sample as many as possible just to give a flavor of what content they're offering. So for this podcast, I could let people know what you can kind of expect, what kind of different types of genres you can expect here. And it's amazing. Now, is my preference, I guess Shonen manga will always be near and dear to my heart over all the other types of genres out there, which is fine, but there are so many other cool ones. And I've been cruising through this. Of course, you have Attack on Titan, which everybody knows. That's huge. That's great. Awesome. So you have some big name manga on this service. But then, Kevin, I mean, I just stumbled across some that I'd never heard of that were just flat out weird. But in a good way. One of them was Can You Just Die, My Darling? That was truly bizarre, Kevin. I mean, bizarre in a good way, but like it's an example of what you would only see in manga. You're never going to see that in a Western comic. It's just really out there. But well done. I also really got into, like I mentioned, Colosseum. I mean, the art, Kevin, is really nice. If you like Fist of North Star kind of art, it's really cool. And I think a lot of American readers, maybe who grew up with American comics, might really dig that kind of really well-defined, heavy inked lined artwork. Another one is, I believe it's pronounced Gleipnir. And Kevin, it's one where this boy can transform into a mascot. Like, you know, like mascot, like you see in a sports game, and he's got superpowers. And to make it even weirder, the girl that he saves, she can unzip his back and hop into him and travel around with him. What? What? I mean, it goes on and on and on, and there's a lot of really cool slice of life titles in here as well. If you like slice of life stuff, you got that. You've got romance as well. I've not sampled any of the romance ones, but you've got those as well. You've got some horror. You've got a fair amount of sports ones, Kevin, which I really like. One of my favorite ones is the Ace of Diamonds. It's a baseball manga that is a huge one.
Yes,
big name. Sure. And so it's just I'm legitimately blown away by the crazy amount of different genres. And of course, you know, I did read the Night Cartoonist and her orc editor because of the cover that they put for that one. I'll admit it. I you can appeal to my baser instincts, Kevin. You can. I won't go into it more than that.
Hey, that's totally fine. No judgment. We're a judgment-free zone here. So,
but yeah, big thumbs up. I think there's literally, if you like manga, I don't know how you don't find something that you're not going to like. I mean, seriously, it's something here for literally everybody. Oh, last one I want to talk about, The Yakuza's Guide to Babysitting. Two thumbs up. That's a good one, too. It's just, it's amazing, Kevin, the different styles, the different genres, the different offerings that this service has. It's really cool. So that's what I want to praise first. That's what I really, really had fun with this Azuki app over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, for sure. It's for me, for the positives, definitely is the selection. Obviously, there's some series that I know have been completed that they don't have like full runs of, but that's totally fine. Again, they're still uploading a lot of chapters, and they have been actually really good about, like, outside of the initial launch of it, where I thought and I don't know, we talked about it offline, where the communication wasn't as great and they weren't communicating when it would launch and things like that. So I think they kind of weren't the best in communicating at initially, but I think they've been doing such a better job of being active about communicating on Twitter and their Facebook page on what stuff is getting added and things like that. And that's kind of what I do want to see from, especially because, again, it is a new service. And the communication is super key with this type of stuff. If you're being transparent about, like, hey, this is what we're uploading, this is how many chapters we're uploading, and this is what's live and things like that, again, you're always going to win in my book of that stuff, because, again, I totally accept that you're a new service, and as long as you are communicating with us and not just being coy about it or being silent about what's on there, then that's what's going to get more of my wrath of, and I'm going to call you out on. But again, I think they've been doing a good job in terms of communicating that stuff. And I do like that in terms of, they do give you a 30 day free trial, which is good as well. And then, like you said, the selection of manga is really good. It's very diverse, and like, it's not just a regular shonen. It has a mix of slice of life, it has romance, it has fantasy adventure, and then just and a lot of comedy as well. So it's a good mix. It's not just tailored to like us or like young boys or teenage boys and things like that. It's right. Also for female audiences.
Oh, yeah.
And different types of audiences, if you're just not looking for it. The typical shonen genre that we get mostly from Viz. Viz does have some stuff that is slice of life and comedy and stuff like that, but they're mostly oriented towards the at least here with the Viz app, it's mostly oriented towards shonen category. But so it's good to have this type of service, because we know that Kodansha, especially, they have they have more diversity when it comes to the stuff that they publish. It feels like they take more risks in terms of what they publish and what they try out and stuff. And that's always what I've become a fan of Kodansha and what they publish on all their different manga releases and stuff like that. Because again, it is diverse. There's some stuff that I didn't too much enjoy, but there's other stuff that I do and I've been a big fan of in terms of the anime. It's good to finally like read the manga of, like, mm-hmm. I finally was able to read the Rave Master manga, because I've only watched them anime, and this was the first time I was able to read Rave Master. And then also I'm getting through Attack on Titan right now, Battle Angel Alita. I only read the first volume of that series. I never read the second, third. Yeah. So it's good that it's good that it has these classic series along with new series, like you said, the Yakuza Babysitter is probably my favorite out of the ones that new ones that I've read. I have no experience or didn't know the title outside of the cover. Like you said, I saw the cover and I was like, I saw the house, it was like Yakuza House Husband. And I was just like, you know what I mean? Let me read this. So, and stuff like that. It's cool to read that stuff. And then I know another manga series that I read that friends have recommended to me for Slice of Life is the, I always mispronounce this, but Chiha Yafuro. It's a slice of life music manga, and it's been actually super popular. And I finally was able to get around to read it because it's on here. And then another one I recommend, which because it's very strange, but it's super cool, with a older protagonist, like a kind of old man protagonist, is Inu Yashiki. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that rock.
Not read it.
Yeah, it's an anime recently came out and also a live action movie, and it's an old man and it's just a paranormal kind of manga series, but it's cool to see an older protagonist, like, because it is an old man. It's old man, which we don't normally get in anything. In anything, like even movies and TV shows or manga, or especially manga and comic books. So it's fun to read a series where it is like literally like a grandpa that's the main character. So
that's all. I think the fee is $4.99.
Yeah.
And I think that is a very fair price for the amount of content that they are offering. I think it's a very fair price. I have no issue with paying $4.99 a month for this. That's thumbs up for me.
Yeah. And then I think the other positive too is, and this speaks to just the diversity that they have with the service, is that also the simultaneous translations for all the current series that they have. It also is a good mix of the different types of manga that you could find on this, and I think they've selected the right ones in terms of to show that. And even though not all of them are super big, I know that I think probably what the biggest ones that they're releasing simultaneously as in Japan is probably Eden Zero and Cardcaptor Sakura Clear Card. It's probably the two biggest ones that people will know here in the United States, because especially with Eden Zero getting on Netflix, being on Netflix for the anime. But they have like a wide selection of that with To Your Eternity, Grand Blue Dreaming, and then they have A Sign of Affection and things like that. Again, it's just showing different types of genre, and I'm glad that they're at least this initial launch of their service when it comes to the simultaneous in Japan. And I do hope that they expand on it, because there's a lot of manga series that are currently going on, and I'm sure that that's part of just their license that they have with Kodansha. But hopefully they do add to that, just because again, I think it's just going to show the power that they have with what they're doing here. So okay so we took some positives out of this, but what are some of your negatives, or wish they would improve on this in initial run?
I hate the UI for this app. It sucks. And I hate to be harsh on a new service, but it really sucks. One big problem it has is you have three tabs, essentially. You have home, you have browse, and you have settings, all right? The problem with the settings section, when we first signed up, Kevin, was there was no way to sign up. It didn't give you directions. It didn't tell you what to do. And I understand there's an issue with Apple's app rules, because they want their 30% cut, and you can't specifically link in your app to a web page outside of the app for someone to sign up in a subscription, thereby circumventing the 30% app rule fee. I get that, but I've seen other apps that still tell you what to do to start your subscription. It was absolutely maddening when it first came out to get your subscription started. It seems like that's getting a little bit better. The real problem now is with the other two tabs, Kevin. You got the home tab, the browse tab. Here's the problem with the home tab. The home tab, I guess, is supposed to say, hey, look, we're going to group these together in some headings for you, some categories for you. But the categories are super esoteric, Kevin. One category is goal. Okay. I'm guessing it's soccer manga. No, it's all the sports manga. Okay. And then you have Mashima Mania. Okay. Then you got friends. I've got family. Okay. I guess that's slice of life, but I mean that a lot of action manga.
It's Fast and Furious related. Anything Fast
right, exactly. And Furious. Exactly. And then you have New on Azuki. And then you have Recently Uploaded. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. What's the difference between Recently Uploaded and New on Azuki? What?
I think the New on Azuki is supposed to be if you're new to the service or whatever. Right. Kind of like, I think Viz does have something similar where they have it. Here's like kind of what's popular, what you should, the intro manga that you should read.
And which, but with all, and then you have simultaneous with Japan. It's just, these are not good categories. What it should be, much more clear. You should have across the top, what are the hot titles on this service, right? And you can have them rotating around, the hot titles on the service. And then you should have, it's just keep it simple, stupid, is I believe that is the best way to design an app. You should have in your categories, you should have ongoing. Got it. Ongoing. Next, simulpubs. Got it. Next, completed. Got it. And then you can get into genres. Horror, you know, sports,
kind of just do like kind of the Netflix model or like what we see with like the video streaming services and stuff like that.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And then the browse tab, the third and final tab to cover, the browse tab, Kevin, it's 175 manga titles. And it just lists all of them in alphabetical order. That's too much. That is overwhelming. Yeah. What is missing here, which I think is vital when you have this many titles, 175, and it's growing, you got to have a favorites tab. You have to have my either favorites or my library.
Yeah.
Take it how you want it, title it, but you got to have either a favorites or my library tab. Where when I pick something from the browse manga section, I can click add to my library. And then when I log in, I can just go right to my library. Right now, if I want to read, you know, Yakuza babysitting, the Yakuza's guide to babysitting, I got to scroll through like 160 titles to get down to it. That's horrible. And you can't keep track of which ones you're reading because they're all 175 or jumbled in together. So you got to just constantly scroll through 175 titles. I want to read this one now. Oh, no, I want to go back and read Coliseum now. And that's got to change.
Yeah, and I think for me, that goes into one of my biggest negatives of this is that it doesn't have any filters. I'm not sure if it's because they don't want to use the different terms for manga and stuff, like, because I know that because they have a lot of, like, slice of life, shonen. They also have ecchi and then the mafia and stuff like that. I'm not sure if they want to use the typical terms of that for their filters, but that would honestly be helpful, just because when you look at the browse category, and that was like one of the biggest things, I was like, oh, there's no filters. It's just list of 175 and I can't figure that out. I think that's the bigger like initial out of the gate where like, why don't you have this feature is like, just have filters. Cause again, like kind of like you, like we both know like kind of the styles of manga that we like and having those filters and like, oh, hey, you know what? Oh, these are the mangas that you have for that are in this category. Cool. And then looking at all the other categories, it kind of gives me more incentive to try out which ones are in which and stuff like that. And to me, it just kind of feels like the Azuki app and the people that were developing it and things like that, they kind of looked at the Viz app before the Viz's recent update where Viz did technically just add the favorites tab, like you were saying. Yes. I think that was probably our biggest complaint on the Viz app is that it didn't have a favorites tab for a long time. And I think they just added it about a month ago. And it does kind of feel like this Azuki app was taking what Viz's app was like a couple months ago, and they just saw that and they just kind of replicated it because they kind of it has the same things with how they list off in the homepage and things like that. It just reminds me a lot of the Viz app and copying that instead of maybe they should have copied like Comixology, because I think probably out of all the services that are digital reading services, I think actually Kindle probably has the best in terms of UI and things like that. I think the Amazon Kindle app is the best. And it doesn't feel like they looked at what Amazon was doing with Kindle and or Comixology with this stuff. And it's a shame too, just because I think really when you're looking at these digital services and it's been talked about with not just digital services but with sports and everything like that, Azuki is really competing with not just Viz. They're competing with Netflix. They're competing with Xbox Game Pass. They're competing with sports and things like that. Again, you're not just competing with whatever your category is. And you got to look at what all your other competitors are doing in this space, especially the digital space why Netflix is so popular, because they have a recommended list. They have what's out right now. They have a my list so that people could just favorite stuff. And that's very, like, very convenient, especially like with Netflix. That's probably the feature I use most is my list, because I just put stuff on my list and then be like, okay, this is what I'm going to watch. Or when I first log on, that's the first thing I see that it tells me, hey, you haven't read this or you haven't watched this yet, or it's still on your queue or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I should either have I watched this, or, and can I get remove it from my queue so I don't have to keep seeing it? Yeah. Or should I watch it now so that that way I could get it out of the way, because I said I would watch it a long time ago. And not having that type of thing of my list or favorites or whatever is like for digital any digital service is not good.
That's a deal.
Yeah, so I think that is definitely a feature that I think is the number one feature that they're working on here. Just because, again, it does make it feel a little old right out of the gate instead of feeling new and fresh. Because that was what I was, the biggest thing I was hoping is that they would do something where they're really competing against Viz instead of just copying what Viz is doing. And kind of looking at what's successful with Netflix, what's successful with Amazon, because again, they have that ability to do it, but again, I don't feel like they took that opportunity to see what's successful on other services. Because again, you should be looking at not just what Marvel, Viz, DC is doing. You should be looking at what Netflix is doing, what's made Disney Plus and things like that successful is their UI. Because again, the UI is the biggest thing and the biggest turnoff. Because I know for me myself, I think, out of all the digital streaming services that I use, Peacock is my least favorite, and it's all because of the UI and the way that they're, and how slow it is on my PS4 and things like that. It really turns me off to using Peacock. I only use it because I get to watch WWE and watch some old Psych and Parks and Rec and The Office. But in terms of UI, I hate it. I think it's the worst one, and I think Kaito Azuki kind of doesn't fall into like being bad, because I think Azuki does have a benefit of, it's not as slow as the Viz app. I think that's going back into the positives. I think I haven't had a bad experience using the service on my tablet or my phone at all. Like with Viz, I think Viz is a little bit slower on my tablet than it is on my phone. I'm not sure what your experience.
I've had some. I have an iPad Pro. I got the big one, 12 inch one, right? And it's the new model. Normally, that screen is just silky smooth. It's awesome, but there are times where you're reading. I'm reading something on the Azuki app, and the page can get a bit janky.
It chugs.
Yeah, it's not smooth and fluid at all. And I mean, I got the most beastly tablet you can have. It's like that shouldn't happen ever. That's on the app developer, not the device.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I don't know if you've seen this, and it hasn't happened a lot, but I've seen it a few times, and it only takes a few times to be a real turnoff, but some of the scans of the pages were cut off on the sides, so you didn't get all the dial.
I haven't seen that, but that's actually a big thing. So that must mean that some of them, they must have just kind of scanned it directly on a scanner or something like that. I'm guessing that's how it looks, and that again that's a very bad look on it. And I do kind of wonder what the partnership is with Kodansha, because again, I know that Kodansha is still releasing stuff on Comixology, and then I think there's another, I just remember they added something to another server, digital reading service. I forget what it is, but I know Kodansha has a lot of partnerships with them. And so I do kind of wonder with how often they upload chapters and things like that. And there's mangas that I know have completed their runs, but they don't have the complete run on here, of how deep that partnership runs and how much they do have license for yet. Again, that might be an upload issue, but that was a disappointment for myself as well, that there are mangas definitely, like I one of my favorites that I was reading physically and stuff was Yamada-kun and Seven Witches. And they only have like about 120 something chapters. And that series is completed, and it's like over 200 chapters that they did. I think it was 250. So it is disappointing that there's like these mangas that I know are completed and they don't have the complete runs for, or they're still missing chapters and things like that. Some of it, like with the newer ones that are still ongoing, I'm sure that that's because they haven't translated them yet, or they're still waiting for the volume releases. But that also has me questioning if the a lot of these series outside of the simultaneous publishing, we are going to have to wait until like the physical volumes come out here in the United States instead of like the chapter by chapter that they're translating. Because it was very noticeable to me that in terms of just the service itself, in terms of what their selection, that they have so many mangas that they just don't have the entire runs for, which is kind of like surprising, especially again, it is $4.99, but like my expectation is that for these completed mangas, I should be able to read all the chapters. And it doesn't make sense to me. Like that breaks my brain, but it just like in my mind, I'm just like, I wish it had it. It is kind of almost a deal breaker for me that I can't read these mangas that I read before from friends and things like that, or watched the animes that, and I know that they've completed, and then I come on here and you don't have the complete runs, and I'm like, that sucks.
Agreed. I think the other service you were mentioning with Kodansha, in addition to Comixology, I believe you get Kodansha on the Bookwalker app too.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Because I know that they upload there regularly as well. So. Yep. I think it's mostly for what purchase, I believe, but I do kind of wonder what if Kodansha has deals with Comixology and this other service as well, if that kind of interferes with how much Azuki could get on that, because Kodansha is their biggest partner. They have also Goodreads, but Kodansha is their biggest partner. So again, it just makes me question how deep that partnership is and what all the legalese is on that, which I can't speak to, but Rocky could probably speak to it better than I can, but if you saw the contract. But again, it's just in terms of the service itself, that's kind of what stood out to me as well, outside of the UI, was not having completed runs.
Yep.
And just to end it on a positive note, our review, what I know you mentioned a couple mangas that you got into, but what is the mangas that you say have stood out to you from just going off using the service so far?
Honestly, the one that I was really surprised by, it's Colosseum. Out of all the ones I've sampled, that's the one that I'm like, oh my gosh, where was this my entire life? This is just fantastic. It was surprising that, unfortunately, they've only loaded up 4 chapters of it. Yeah. So, you know, shoulder shrug. It's kind of what you were talking about, how with some of these titles that are completed and whatnot, like, what's the deal?
Yeah. And again, like I said, hopefully they resolve that and that they are making priority to upload as many chapters as they can weekly. Because I know that on Twitter, like I said, I think a positive for them is that they've been communicating about it on Twitter, especially where I've seen it the most, is that they've said, hey, these are the chapters that we just uploaded, or you guys should check this stuff out. And so I'm glad that they're doing that, and I hope they just continue doing that instead of being quiet like they were initially. So I think that
one thing I would like to see, no, go ahead.
No, you, no,
one
you
thing
go.
I would like to see them is, have you noticed that the dates for the chapters, you know, with the Shonen Jump app, the dates of the chapters correspond to when that chapter was released. So if you go to a completed manga from 5 years ago, it's going to have the dates from 5 years ago when those chapters were all released, right? But with this service, like, for example, you go to Yuzuka's Guide to Babysitting that you and I like, it has, for example, the new chapters 12 through 23, the dates for release, July 15. That's the date you uploaded it to your service, but that's not the date of the release of the chapter.
Yeah.
And it makes it confusing to know, well, where is this manga in terms of how long it's been published? Is it still being published? Is it old? I don't like that either.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I think it just kind of speaks to this being a new service. I think that is definitely when you get on the app or even on its browser as well, it just, and everything feels like you guys are a very young company. You guys are just a startup. And hopefully, again, I, I like what the direction of the service. I like the initial selection, but there is a lot of things that they could improve. And again, hopefully they're not just looking at their competition in terms of the reading service. Cause I think even though I'd like Comixology, I like Amazon Kindle and stuff like that, they're still behind on what Netflix and Disney Plus are doing. And I hopefully Azuki's not just looking at those services. Cause again, they are still adding those services, even Viz, which is what it feels like that they got their inspiration for this app. They're not just looking at them. They look at what Netflix is doing, look at what Disney Plus is doing, and kind of get more inspiration from that side of things to improve your service. Cause I think that's going to help them a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
So, all right. Awesome. Well, again, I'm excited to see how Azuki evolves and everything. So it's a initial, again, a positive in terms of what the selection, but again, they have a lot of things to improve. But so from there, I wanted to finish off this episode with talking about one of the mangas that is Rocky. You've been recommending to me and telling me to read it over and over and over again. So I finally got around to it, and I wanted to talk to you about at least the first couple chapters of it is Mashal Magic and Muscles. So I want to talk to you about the first 15 chapters because that kind of make up the introduction of what the world and the characters of this manga are about. So I figured that the first 15 chapters are a good place to start because we want to add it to our rotation of maybe mangas that we review monthly. So for people that don't know, Mashal Magic and Muscle is a manga that's set in a magic world, kind of like almost Harry Potter-esque. With our main character, Mash, Burndead. And he is actually somebody that was born without magic in this world. We're filled with magic, and there's actually a school for magic that's called Easton Magic Academy, which is like, it is like Hogwarts basically of this world. And then there's these high ranking magicians that are called the Divine Visionaries, is a title that's given to exceptional students at the Easton Magic Academy, revered as one of the gods, chosen once every few years. Or once every year, they make up the core of the Bureau of Magic for this world as well. And so with Mash, he is kind of just living out a peaceful life with his adopted grandfather, because he's an orphan. But he's actually lived out a pretty good life. He's been doing a lot of training. He is a very strong character in terms of just physical strength. But like I said before, he does not have any magic ability or anything like that. But he is living out, like I said, his peaceful life, and he also wants to get that experience that all the other kids are getting a little bit, and so he actually does get into the magic school for the Easton Magic Academy, but since he doesn't have magic, again, he could only rely on his muscles, and it's basically the story of him trying to get integrated into the school. But also, he is a character that isn't, like, I guess it's more like Psycho 100. I'm not sure if you watched that anime. Yeah. Rock. It's,
yeah,
kind of the main character very much reminds me of Psycho 100, where it's very stoic faced the entire time. And that comes in with, like, I think a lot of the comedy for this series. But yeah, what do you think of the main character? Like, let's talk about the main character first. What do you think of Mash as a main character in these first 15 chapters?
I love his character. Mm-hmm. Mash is wonderfully, how do you put it? He is just so funny without trying to be funny. He's never trying to be funny, Kevin.
He's blunt.
But his lines are hilarious. Just hilarious. Mm-hmm. What I like about his character a lot is, and look, you know how I am, Kevin. If I don't work in a Nikuman reference into a podcast, I've done something wrong with myself, right? It kind of reminds me a little of Kinnikuman, because the main character in that, Kinnikuman, Suguru, his only superpower is strength and durability, right? But the Magikka are able to use super strength and durability in the most creative way to give him additional, air quote, superpowers, if you know what I mean. And everyone he fights, right, has all sorts of crazy superpowers. So he has to use strength and durability in these creative ways to come up with these really creative different attacks against all these other people who have all sorts of really elaborate superpowers. And that's how Mash is. He has super strength and he's super durable. And those two features he's able to use in the most creative way to create all these cool superpowered attacks to defeat these people who have these really phenomenal magic powers. And I love that. I absolutely love it. And I also like how with Kinnikuman, Mash is also kind of a simple-minded dude, just like Kinnikuman is simple-minded. He's a simple-minded guy.
Yeah.
Borderline, I mean, dumb is hard. I think just simple-minded is a better way of putting it.
Yeah. I think he comes off as, I think a lot of his comedy, I would classify it as like deadpan comedy, a little bit of like where he's just like, he's going to talk to you the same tone the entire time. I don't think he's simple-minded. I think he just like, especially with how they set up, and I do like this setup of like where it is this world with filled with magic, and our main character is the one character that does not have any sort of magic ability.
And so you have to keep in mind, in this world, they kill anybody who doesn't have magic. You get killed.
Yeah.
That's important to know.
Yeah, that's another thing for that. So he's basically just relying on super strength and to just kind of pass off as like, hey, don't kill me. At least these first 15 chapters, it does come off as me as like, he's trying to hide that. I don't have magic ability like everybody else. And I could kind of feel that. Oh yeah. He's a little bit jealous of that a little bit from other characters. But he's also trying to fit, like he's trying to fit in. But the only way that he knows how to fit in is by just being like stoic the entire time, even not giving off any expressions. And again, I like that. It almost makes a vehicle for all the other characters to stand out more because our main character is very deadpan in everything he says. Like I said, it's very much like you could, like when I'm reading it, it's always one tone, never changes. Like anything that he says, even the like super exaggerated things he says that you're like, why would you say that? No, don't say that. I feel like he never changes his tone whatsoever. It makes the reaction for all the other characters in this like stand out more. And I feel like he's almost a vehicle for the other characters to stand out more than he does. And he's just here to be almost like the superboy of this, like in terms of like, he's just has super strength and he's in this world with magic and he has to kind of try and fit in, but he's like, all I have is my muscles basically. So, and I think again, it's a good vehicle for all the other characters because I do feel like the other characters stand out more than him, but because it's on purpose.
I agree. I think you're completely right. The other characters are allowed to flourish and take up more space and get the reader's attention more. They all have bigger personalities, more dramatic personalities. Yeah. And Mash is really there to help amplify them. Let's be honest. The thing with his character, he's not only is he deadpan, but unlike a lot of shonen manga where the protagonist has to train and level up, train and level up, train and level up, right? Mash just doesn't lose.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like a Saitama from One Punch Man.
Right.
That's basically his character. His character, except that he has hair.
Perfect. You got it.
So he's very much in that Saitama One Punch Man type role of like that. That's at least what, when I compare it to, because like, against, we know Saitama, it's not that he's simple. It's that he's like, he's trying to fit into the world as well. Like, so, and I feel like Mash kind of falls in that category where, He's out of place almost. Like this isn't the world he should be in, but he just got inserted in here from another universe almost. Which again, that's kind of why I almost read him as like Superboy almost of this world or whatever. We also have other characters in this. Another character, one of the other core characters, his name is Finn Amis. Mash's roommate in this series, and we get introduced to him very early on in this. And what do you think of Finn as like Mash's roommate?
Finn is the perfect buddy friend to the protagonist. He's exactly what you want. He is diametrically opposite of Mash in personality. He is weak. He is scared. He is everything you want to act as a foil to Mash, who is quiet and direct and strong. Finn is the direct opposite in every possible way, and that's what makes them go together like peanut butter and jelly. Finn is exactly the kind of character you need as the supporting friend to the main hero. And Finn also kind of, at least certainly in the beginning of this title, he is the stand-in for you, the reader, to react to what MASH is doing as, what the heck, this is insane. This guy is crazy. His powers don't make sense. This is all nuts. He's there to be the reader and to guide us through this world in dealing with MASH's place in it. So I think he does that well, very well.
And I think you're totally right. I think he is the character that is needed for this series, because, again, a lot of his reaction is almost like, they don't break the fourth wall a lot, but it's more of like, it does feel like the actual part of the world of, like, yes, if MASH is going to be this extreme of, like, deadpan, not really show much emotion, you need this other character that is very emotive, very much surprised about all the crazy stuff MASH is able to do, especially because he doesn't have magic. And Finn, he's not super talented. He's not like, I like that they set him up as just, he's Finn's friend. He's not the typical rival that you would think of from one of these mangas. And yeah, that's really the thing that stood out to me most about Finn, is that Finn is actually just his friend. It's like, his roommate. He's not set up to be like antagonistic from out of the gate, because like that's almost like what we're trained to expect when, like, especially the first friend that the main character has. It's always going to be the rival character, and like kind of like Sasuke or Bakugo in My Hero Academia and Naruto. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that they don't initially set that up. And just speaking on the first story arc, the East Enrollment arc, that they're not going into the typical caricatures for these characters, that MASH is in a character that is the loser, or he's kind of a loser just because he doesn't have magic, but he's not ostracized. He's not ostracized or seen as like weaker than, or he's seen as somebody that no one wants to be friends with. He's actually a guy that, like with Finn, he actually attracts people to be his friend right away. And yes, he actually is able to gain friends right away. So it's like a fun dynamic. It makes Finn a likable character right away, instead of making him like be a character that the reader's supposed to not like or anything like that. I'm glad that they did that. And then it kind of brings in the next character that I want to talk to you about, with that we get introduced in the Eastern Enrollment arc. That's the chapters 1-10, is Lemon Irvine. That's actually the kind of the self-proclaimed love interest in this series for our main character, because she's like, she instantly falls in love with MASH right away and just says, hey, you know what? I'm your fiance. And so
yes, I'm going to marry you. No, yet, so, but I'm going to marry you.
Yeah. So what do you think of Lemon Irvine's character for this series?
I love Lemon. I think she's fantastic. She kind of very much, not quite in the same mold as Finn, but she is your every girl. You know what I mean? She's not the best. She's not the smartest. She's not the strongest. She's not the most talented. She's not this hyper-realized version of what a woman should be. She is your every girl, right? She's just your average girl student in school. And that makes her more relatable to the reader. Again, I think because MASH is so outrageous in terms of his power set, not his personality, but his power set is so outrageous that it's important that his friends come across like very, just the average Joe person. And Lemon comes across like that. Just, she's just that tried and true average girl that you see in school. And I do think that having her fall in love with MASH, but MASH being like totally oblivious nor receptive to it, is a nice play off of the obligatory romantic angle you always get, you know, between the protagonist in the shonen manga and whatever his friend who happens to be a girl or a childhood friend or whatever. It's a nice play off that. They acknowledge the trope and then kind of push it to the side.
Yeah, and I think Lemon, kind of like Finn, I like that you're totally right that she's an average student, because she's not like, she doesn't have extraordinary talent and magic or anything. She's like a typical person in this world that MASH just kind of happened to run into, because, and I'm glad it makes it more natural, because again, just going like with Finn is also just a typical character. He would almost be like, Finn and Lemon are like almost like background characters that are given actually main character roles. Like that's almost absolutely what they are, because it's not like It's not like Ron or Hermione in Harry Potter, where they were both very talented at Hermione because she was very studious and everything. So, and then Ron, he comes from that family. But Finn and Lemon are very opposite of that. They're not talented whatsoever, but that doesn't mean that they're bad. They're just they're like C, B or C students. They're going to get B's in class. They're going to get like at best. They're going to get C's. But hey, you know what? That they're passing. It's almost like they're passing grades and things like that. That's what they're going to get because that's their level. Like, and I think that also sets them up to be almost empty slates as well, so that like in the future we could see them become more powerful, and like as they interact with MASH, maybe they do get more powerful, and it's kind of elevating these people that. I almost like feel like Lemon and Finn are background characters in most manga series, but they're,
I agree.
But because they're interacting with MASH, it brought them to the foreground.
Yep.
So that's what makes it fun. I think that's what really made it Lemon stand out as a character too, of like, along with Finn, of like, hey, yeah, she's not going to be the typical beauty that you expect or anything like that. She's not super busty. She's not super curvy or anything like that. She looks like a normal kid character, and that's totally fine. I think the one trait that she does have that's different from that makes her stand out a little bit is the thing that she has under her eye that's like a hook. That's her one notable trait. Because she also has the ribbon in her hair, but and which we sometimes see with these type of characters, but I think it's good that you just have a Lemon that, and like you said, she proclaims herself to be his fiance right away, and that is very much treated as comedy, but again, kind of sets up like seeing their character interactions in the future, how that's going to be, if she's going to be the one that actually opens up MASH, because again, it just goes back to MASH. He's kind of almost very closed off to the world around him, outside of like the training that he does and things like that. He's a very much closed off character, but again, it's
he likes to train and he likes to eat cream puffs.
Yeah, Kevin. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly, it just makes me want to eat cream puffs, but it's again, it's just speaks to like he almost needs these type of characters, so that way you're not just bored by MASH, because you have like these exaggerated, you have Lemon who's very exaggerated, same with Finn, like you have these characters that help not the reader not become bored by the material, because MASH you could be very bored very quickly, or his stick could go away very quickly, but because the creator picked very good characters to like be exaggerated, be that character that kind of you would be what the main character usually fits in with his expressions and stuff like that. That's good. It's good to have those too.
Absolutely.
And I think the last character that we're introduced with into the, at least in the Eastman and Roman arc, which is the, like I said, the first introduction arc of this is Lance Crown, which is he is the typical rival character of this series. What do you think of Lance's character and his role as the rival of this series, of the main character at least?
I think he's great, and you're right. We talked about the traditional friend who is your rival. That would be indeed Lance Crown. He plays I like a lot about his character. One, he's very strong, very powerful, right? So you know immediately, wow, this guy's not to be messed with. He evidently comes from a good pedigree. His family has a long pedigree in this world of magic. And so he comes across as imposing and powerful, but at the same time, and this is the magic of this title in general, they work in some comedy to his character because he's obsessed with his little sister. And to the point where they're like, this isn't natural. So it at no point do any of these characters, magic is Komodo never takes any of these characters too seriously. He's not disrespecting him, and they're not punchlines, but he always gives every character a little something that gives them some type of humor or humility, something like that, you know, to keep them from being too perfect of a character, right? So I like that about Lance. I also think he's very important, especially when you get beyond, you know, the first 15 chapters that we're talking in this podcast. He's very important because Lance battles MASH to a draw. He's the only guy that does that. That's very important. That places Lance as his rival as something a little bit different than the other people MASH will face as he progresses on.
Yeah, and I like that with Lance, because again, you always do want the rival character, even though it's like every manga has that rival character. It's again, if you, as long as you do it in a creative manner, which I think they do it here in Mashle very well, like with Lance's character, like you're totally right that he's not like, even though he does have that sister complex because he wants to protect her and everything, because he doesn't want her to be killed by a country, because what is it? She doesn't...
she has a disease. Take away her magic powers and there she'll be... And then once she loses powers, they'll kill her.
So she's kind of falls into almost kind of the MASH, same MASH category, where MASH doesn't have any magic powers, and as well that he could get killed at any point, really, if anybody deems it. So it again gives Lance something where he's not just a typical rival character of like... Yep. He's the rival because he's just the strongest character and the guy that is it feels like he's better than everybody else. It's not really what Lance's character is about. He's very protective of his sister, and he is very almost confident on his abilities, but he doesn't let his confidence be dictate him.
You can see that Lance is a good guy. Komodo makes sure the reader knows he's a good person, and his desire is being driven by his love for his sister and his quest to save her from being killed. He wants to become a divine visionary so he can change the system within, so people without powers won't be killed.
Yeah. And he almost could be the main character, really. He's almost designed to be a main character. Yeah. Like if it wasn't MASH, Lance would be the main character of the series, which goes into the fun of this, because we have these characters that either wouldn't be normally like part of the main cast, or like we have a character in Lance who would actually be, he has everything that you would want from a main character of a series, but he's the rival. He's actually made to be the rival, which is again, like a nice twist on things. And then you have MASH, who's just further elevates MASH's character of like with his stoicness and deadpan comedy and everything. So I think it's a lot of good choices on in terms of the characters that all stand out for different reasons. And it just kind of helps elevate the main character. And I think Lance does that. And then in terms of just the overall, what do you think of what the Easton enrollment arc did in terms of setting up the world? Did you like, is there anything else that stood out to you about this introduction for these first 10 chapters?
The first 10 chapters, I really liked it. I like that obviously Komodo is, you know, hat tipping Hogwarts and all you know, the houses in Hogwarts. And in this one, we have the Adler House, the Lang House, and the Orca House. The Lang House being basically, that's the evil one, like the Slytherins, right? Adler being the Gryffindors, and Orca being the, I guess they'd be kind of like Ravenclaw, I guess. There is no fourth house in this academy. But I like that he's obviously nodding to it, but then Komodo also parodies the Harry Potter world too. He makes fun of, not in a vindictive way, but in a, you know, he definitely is parodying some of the silly aspects of the Harry Potter universe, to be sure, which I liked. It's funny. Okay. And I like the staff that we meet, Wahlberg kind of being the Dumbledore, for the lack of a better comparison. Yeah. And Farman, Kregos, and Claude Lucci are the other two staff that we meet. And so I like that that Komodo doesn't waste any time building out, okay, this is the universe we live in. Everyone has magic powers, and the rare people that don't, they die. Here's the Easton Magic Academy. This is the premier magic academy everybody wants to go to. Here are the houses. Here are the personalities for each of the houses. Here are the teachers, their personalities. Oh, by the way, let me give you another new wrinkle. All these magic users, you have single line magic users and then more powerful two line magic users. So I think the first 10 chapters, Komodo does a great job building out the world, a great job introducing your core cast of characters and allowing the reader to get a good feel for everyone's personality, right? And their power sets as well, or lack thereof when it comes to Lemon and Finn. and also it gives the reader a good impression of what we can expect going forward on this title. You're going to get a lot of action and you're going to get a lot of comedy, and they're both well done. I would say both very well done.
And that kind of goes into the next arc, which is like kind of almost a mini arc that's more just in between this introduction and then the next big arc that, again, we're not going to talk about, but it kind of just introduces going into more of the houses. And like, it's called the Forest Arc. It's chapter 11 through 15. It gets into House Adler and House Lang kind of doing a training exercise. So they're doing that for some awards, but again, it gets into some more crazy action. I think this is even more action heavy than the introduction. And this is where we really get kind of more idea of how powerful everybody is, really. And like how crazy magic in this world can be, or at least start to get introduced. Cause again, I'm sure after these chapters, it gets even crazier with even more extraordinary powers and stuff like that. But I think this forest arc, this chapter 11 through 15 gives you a better idea of how much power there is in all these other characters outside of the core cast that we got introduced to. And one of the characters that we get introduced here is another rival for Mash. His name is Dot Barrett. And he is probably, I would say, the most exaggerated character out of everybody in this.
Oh, yeah, like, absolutely.
He is the most reactionary. Like, you thought like Finn, Lemon, and Lance were very much exaggerated in their reaction. Like, Dot just blows them out of the water completely. So it's another fun way to introduce a rival. Because again, you're totally right that this series is very action heavy, but it's very comedy centric as well. And I like that Dot is just kind of this another rival character, but he's just, I feel like he's more comedy than comedic foil than rival character or anything.
Dot is absolutely a parody of the traditional protagonist in a shonen manga. That's exactly what he is. I mean, he has the look, the spiky red hair. That's the trademark look of a lot of protagonists in shonen manga, right? He has the over-the-top personality of the protagonist in most shonen manga, right? Tons of confidence, tons of aggression. He also, when he first appears, is yelling, "I'm the main character. I'm the main character. Get out of my way, supporting characters. I'm the main character of this story." So a little bit of break. Komodo's gently breaking the fourth wall there with you, with Dot, when he first appears, by saying, "I'm the main character of this story." It is a wonderful parody of the traditional protagonist of a shonen manga. And it is Komodo. Again, remember, we're still early in, right? We're only 10 chapters in. Now we're in the 11th chapter. So it's Komodo telling the reader, look, I'm going to take a lot of tropes found in shonen manga and I'm going to slightly flip them, slightly turn them askew and present them to you in a different way. And I'm going to have fun. You could tell, obviously, Komodo loves shonen manga. He obviously loves the genre, but he's going to have a little bit of fun with it too, poking at some of the more common aspects of shonen manga.
And it just kind of like, because again, I think the Eastern Enrollment arc, I think a lot of that is more, like you said, Harry Potter based. I think it's more of him like introducing this world that is very much inspired by Harry Potter, more like a lot of the Western influence in terms of that stuff. And I think this forest arc kind of, with the introduction of Dot especially, is more like, this is more of the, now let me take a, not dig at shonen, but let me introduce more of the shonen tropes into this. And then let me twist it into, make it work in my world that I just set up in the first 10 chapters. And that's kind of why I wanted to talk about these first 15, the 11 through 15, is because again, this is, I feel like, where the shonen aspect of this series comes into play, of especially with Dot's character. And I like that we got that in here too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, totally agree.
So, and again, it's another training arc, kind of almost a training arc. And we're again, getting better idea of what this world is and type of characters there are. And you're totally right. I think about also that, like with Dot's introduction, it's like, he also further elevates all the other characters. Cause it's like kind of what we talked about, that Lemon, Finn, and Mash are almost characters that you wouldn't typically see as main characters in a series, but then you get the character that you would expect from a main, this type of manga. And like, he just like, makes everything even better. All like the characters stand out even more and helps like get the different personalities and things like that. Cause again, I think this series nails just personality in every single character.
Yeah, I agree. And what I like about Dot is, even though he's presented to the reader initially in this very over-the-top parody, right, poking fun at the traditional shonen manga hero, even though he's presented in that manner, Komodo then quickly, as we progress toward the 15th chapter, shows the reader, whoa, I may have presented him as a parody and to get some laughs, but he's not like Finn and he's not like Lemon. He is actually good and he is tough as nails. He takes a beating from the main villain of this story arc, who is Silva, a member of House Lang, and Silva, who is a two-line magic user and quite powerful and known to be a nasty psychotic bully, right? I mean, Dot, it kind of reminded me, you know what it reminded me of, Kevin? It reminded me of in the original, I don't know if you ever read it, the original Contest of Champions from back in the 80s, when the champion is, you know, he's picking all the most powerful characters in the Marvel Universe to fight for the championship, right?
Yeah.
And he's beating everybody, just demolishing everybody. And then he fights the Thing, and he just gives the Thing this beating, and the Thing just keeps standing up. He can't win the fight. He can't hurt the champion, but the Thing won't go down. He just keeps standing up. Just keeps standing up. Just takes the beating. And that's what Dot Barrett does. Silva's two-line magic is real strong, but Komodo shows you this guy may be over the top, maybe wacky, right? But he's strong, he's heroic, and he'll take a beating like nobody else.
Yeah, and like I said to you, it's just fun to see these characters established early on, because, again, I haven't read past these 15 chapters yet, but it makes me excited to read more of this, because, again, you've been recommending this manga for a long time. So, and I think that, again, these first 15 chapters do such a good job of introducing the world, introducing the characters, and I really don't have any complaints on either one. Again, I kind of want to see what more of the villain side of things are, like what the, because again, I think the only tension or danger that I felt from these first 15 chapters is like, oh, is Mash gonna get killed because he doesn't have magic? And I think that's really the only form of tension. I think maybe the only complaint I have is where we don't get really introduced to the main antagonist of the series yet. We're getting clues of it. We got clues of it, but we didn't get, like, we're 15 chapters. I'm 15 chapters in, and don't really have an idea of what the actual threat is for the series outside of Mash possibly getting killed because he doesn't have magic, or Lance, kind of where Lance Crown's sister kind of falls into that category as well. I feel like those were the only actual threats I ever felt in these first 15 chapters.
They do mention the Magi Lupus, which is, from House of Lang. They're like the bad guy.
Yeah.
They do mention them, and we do briefly see Abel.
Yeah.
So it is, Komodo kind of hints that Abel is going to be your tough test going forward.
Yeah.
But you're right. Komodo really does do those first 10 chapters are nothing but world building.
Yeah.
And I think chapters 11 through 15 are just kind of finishing off assembling his main cast of characters, giving you a little bit more insight into Mashburn. I mean, what made me realize Mashburn was different was it's unusual. Komodo gives Silva a name, who's the psycho that Mashburn has to defeat in this story arc, right? Between chapters 11 and 15. Komodo never gives, at least I didn't see it, maybe you saw it, but he never gives the girl who's working with Silva a name. Not that I can recall. He lets you know that her power is she can manipulate men. If they have any slight interest in her, then she can make them love her.
Yeah, that was the other thing that stood out to me. Yeah, I'll have to read the chapters again, but yeah, she didn't have a name, which was very odd and stood out to me. I kind of wish that she got a name, just because, again, her power was very unique and stuff.
Yeah, it was.
But because she didn't get a name, it almost feels like she's a character you'll forget or something. And I think these first 15 chapters overall is about setting up the world and the main cast, and it's not about worried up so much about, hey, these are the main threats that you got to worry about as a reader. These are the characters that you're supposed to hate or maybe love to hate. There's no elements of that yet. It very much stood out, because usually by the time we get to the 15th chapter or like into the, which would be the what, second volume of this, I'm guessing that second volume, yeah, second of volume. This, we get at least some sort of main threat, or at least the first big villain. And I don't feel like we ever got to that point outside of, like, so, like you said, Silver is kind of fills that role, but he never felt like MASH is gonna, like, it's a tough test or anything like that, or he's actual set to be a long-term villain.
Right. I think another thing that trope that Komodo flips is the ending at chapter 15 after MASH defeats Silva, right? And he turns his attention to the female student, and she's immediately like, oh, I'm sorry. It goes to the whole, like, crocodile tears. I'm sorry. He controlled me. He made me do it. I'm so sorry. I had no choice. I'm a terrible person. And MASH is like, that's all right. And I thought, okay, it's typical shonen manga. He's going to be like, she's going to become a friend, or he's going to, you know, it's, they're going to form a relationship. You know what I mean? And instead MASH goes, it's all right. It's all right. And she's thinking men are so vulnerable. And he goes, you see, and he puts his arms around her and then does a back suplex and suplexes her into the ground head first and goes and stands up, and she's knocked out. And he goes, I believe in equality. Deadpan. I believe in equality. And then moving on. And I'm like, wait. I mean, that made me laugh out loud, because that's not what you normally see, Kevin, in your traditional shonen manga.
Yeah, for sure. And again, it just, I think ending on a positive with Masho, I think, again, I did enjoy the world building and the character building in terms of the main cast of this series. Again, hopefully I am definitely going to continue reading it, and hopefully I'll be caught up with the most recent chapters when the next chapter releases next Sunday. But I think hopefully we do start seeing more of the main threats, maybe like the Bureau of Magic more and stuff like that, or kind of what the main threats of this world are, because that's the only complaint I have of this is, and it's really not a big complaint, because they did such a good job, especially as a Harry Potter fan, digging into all that stuff and digging into what, like, some of the tropes and kind of taking digs at them, but like doing it in a way that the characters are actually very likable. Almost every character that we've been introduced to so far, I've liked, I've enjoyed, and it just kind of builds off what this world is, and it kind of just makes this manga, outside of, like, stand out from all the other typical shonen that manga that we have been getting. So again, thank you very much for that recommendation, Rock, and I'm happy to be reading more of this series, like, moving forward.
I wanted to say I'm on two things. I've read the whole thing. It's at chapter 70 now. That's the most recent chapter. Okay. So I've read them all. Your concern is immediately addressed in the following chapter, chapter 16. Don't worry.
That's good. That's very good to know.
And I just wanted to, you know, in kind of my overall view of it, what I love so much about this manga is that it really is unique in how it views the genre, the shonen manga genre. It's very creative. It takes different. It zigs when you think it's going to zag, right? Yeah. It. I like it, and that's what I think most people enjoy about it. You get awesome humor and the action. This is some of the best action, Kevin. As you progress forward, you're it, dude. You haven't seen anything yet. You are in store for some awesome. I mean, I'm telling you, it's chapters and chapters worth of nothing but action ahead of you.
That's awesome.
Action. And lastly, the only thing I want to touch on, we didn't talk about, was the artwork. I really like artwork. It is beautiful. He has really nice, strong lines. Strong ink lines, very slick style of art that I think will appeal to a lot of, at least a lot of American readers who like more of a heavy lined artwork. You know, it's very detailed. His characters look really, really nice. It's beautiful artwork. He really puts a lot into it. So it's, I would say his artwork is really focused mainly on the characters.
Yeah.
The backgrounds are, you're there, but they don't really, the background doesn't really, you're not here for the background art. Yeah. You're not going to get lots of details.
Which is normally what we see in most manga, is like the background. It's kind of, it's just there. But I think you're totally right. I think the thing that stood out to me most is, like, especially just enjoying the characters and world so much, is the character designs. I like that every character, even though, like we've been talking about, is that it's, the characters are very typical and not, and like a lot of them are average outside of like really Lance and Dot are the like exceptions. They're like super like the typical rivals and stuff like that. But I like that almost all the character designs are simple, and that makes them even stand out more from what we normally get from a main cast. Because I think really like the only character that has like what you would expect from a manga series is Dot. Dot is the only character that, and then even Lance as the main rival character, his design is very similar to Matt, like falls in line with Mash and Finn and Lemon. So it's it's not, and it almost makes them stand out more, because especially when you're reading so many manga series where you have the spiky haired kid, or like the one with unique hair color and different things like that, where you then reading this type of series where almost every character is very plain looking almost. And that almost makes it stand out more because of like how they, their expressions and all that stuff. I think it lends more to how this series just makes every character so expressional.
Yep, agreed.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited very much to read more of Mashal here moving forward. So, but and this is where we're going to conclude the episode. And Rock, if people wanted to find you online, where can people follow you?
Yeah, sure. You can check me out on Twitter at Rock2K's Revolution and on Instagram at Rock2K's Revolution.
Awesome. Yeah, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at KevinL07. And then you could also find the Manga Revolution podcast at the Manga Podcast on Twitter. And then you can follow also our comic book work at comicbookrevolution.com, where we post a lot of stuff on comic books and manga and things like that. So you could definitely find us there. And then that's also the home of our Comic Book Revolution podcast, where we do a lot of some stuff on comic books, but we also do on pop culture. We just recently did an episode on Black Widow that you'll be able to check out soon. So that was a very fun discussion to have with our other co-host that we have on that episode, Steven. So you could check that out here soon enough. And you can check out all the other episodes that we've done. We've done episodes on like the Zack Snyder's Justice League and things like that. So, and I believe one of the most recent ones we did is on our Rock and Steven did on Infinite Frontier. So you guys could check that episode out. And all the future episodes on comicbookrevolution.com as well. And then for the Manga Revolution podcast, you could find us everywhere on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and make sure to rate and review us 5 stars. We really enjoy it. Gets us up on the ratings for all those podcast services. So we really would appreciate it. And I think that's where we're going to end things. And so again, thank you very much, Rock, for joining me on this episode, and hope to talk to you soon again, and everyone have a good day.